If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20 today. The thing that about this time of the year is you come back to the same places in Scripture. And so after many years either in the faith or just being in church, it seems that things can get redundant and that you've looked at things or seen things or heard all there is to say about a particular passage or particular things. So what I want to do this year during our time together in the weeks as we lead up to Christmas is look at those who met the Christ. Because if you ever come in contact with the Christ, if you ever have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know that every time that you engage him, something new comes. So as we engage these passages of Scripture that are very familiar to us all, I want you to have an open heart, open mind, and just be ready for what God has to say to you. Because I believe and I know that as we engage these Scriptures over the course of the next few weeks, you're going to see things and hear things that you have never heard before. And it's not because I'm going to be speaking something different. I'm going to be telling you a story that you've already heard. But I really want you to search deep and allow the Lord to speak to you, because I think that there's some unique things here that are in these passages when Jesus engages these either groups of people or individuals that speak to us about not only those times and those meetings, but what it means to be a person of faith. All right, so as we read, let's start in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start looking at verses 8 and 9 to start off with. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angels of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. So you have this group of people. They're out in the fields. What are they doing? They're taking care of their livelihood, their livestock. They're not bothering anybody. They're just out there by themselves. And what happens? This is where God chose to come down and to speak first to humanity about what is taking place. This is the first public declaration of what God is about to do in the world and has done through Christ Jesus. And so this is the beginning. And the first group of people that he chooses to go out to is a bunch of shepherds. Now, I want you to put that into perspective today. What would you think that would be equated to today? Would the Lord show up in the largest church in the United States and reveal that he's about to do something new today? No. Where would he go? Where would he go? He's going to go out to the place where people aren't looking, because we think we know it all. So that's this. Each year we come back to these same passages and we look at this. And with familiarity comes a complacency. And just as we become familiar with all of these scriptures and our faith, we become complacent in who we are in Christ Jesus. So we need someone to shake us up and show us something new. Well, what I want you to see is God uses that which we are not looking for and we are not looking to. Think about that in your own personal walk, in your own personal life. How many of you have expectations of what you think God's going to do with you? How many of you have expectations of what you think God's about to do in your life because he's done this in the past before, so I can just assume that everything's going to be the same for me as I move forward? Well, these are my talents and gifts, and these are my fears and my trepidations, so God's never going to go over there. He's always going to stay in my comfort zone. He's not going to stay in our comfort zone. He's not going to stay in our comfort zone at all, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to move in us. Having been on a cruise for a week and having eaten a lot of food and then being very simply just walking down a hallway and going to a room, laying down and taking a nap, watching a movie, sitting around doing nothing, that can get real good real fast. You know what I mean? It can get real good real fast, because you know what? I enjoyed that. It was restful. It was all these things. Then I came back and I stepped on a scale. In a matter of 7 days, I had blown up. I had grown. I had not realized what was taking place. In my passiveness, I had become what? Different. And it wasn't even, it was happening right before my eyes as the food went in my mouth, but it didn't seem like it was going to be that way. We get complacent. This is what happens in our walks. God wants to shake us up. God goes to the place where we don't think that it's going to happen and does the thing which we're not looking for. In this particular place and time, it begins as a fringe movement. I want you to think about shepherds in that day and time. They were social outcasts. This is what Genesis has to say about Genesis 46:34. This is the time of the Pharaohs, all right? And so this is also Joseph. And so it says, "You shall say, your servants shall be keepers of livestock from your youth, even until now, for both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians." So the Israelites were allowed to come and live in Egypt and have their livestock. Joseph's family was allowed to come back and to do all of this because why? Because the Egyptians weren't going to pay any attention to them whatsoever. They were be allowed to come in and take over this particular land, which was called Goshen at the time. And they would be able to live there, and they would be able to just live their lives, and nobody knew what was going to go on and what was going to happen. What happened? They grew into a nation right under these people's noses. And they did it as a bunch of shepherds in an unassuming, inconsequential way, and to the point where they had to be released. And we all know what took place after all of that with the Exodus. But that this family was allowed to come in, and they were allowed to do this because the people, the Egyptians, just thought, hey, it's a bunch of shepherds. We can't even stand that group of people. Just let them go over here and have this part of land right over here. Everything will be fine. They'll just go away eventually. They didn't go away. But this is how God works. He takes that which is unassuming to us and the things that we aren't looking for, and then all of a sudden it makes a massive move. Any of you guys ever heard of a guy named Jonathan Edwards? All right. Jonathan Edwards started a great revival, didn't he? Moved across this nation. Have y'all ever read about Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards was an unassuming man. He was not a great speaker. In fact, he read his messages. He wrote them down and just read them verbatim as he got up. And so when he would get up, how many of you have ever been to a place where the preacher got up and just read his message from behind the podium, never moved? Have you experienced that before? Yeah, I have too. And you sit there and you go, really? You know, sometimes. And I understand that that's how some people can communicate. But I want you to think about that in today's age and today's time. We're looking for communicators today, right? Everybody wants a preacher that can communicate. And we don't think that somebody's going to be able to communicate by reading a message from behind a podium. God is God. And if God wants to move through an individual reading a piece of paper from behind a podium, then he will do it. If God wants to move through a man who walks around like 500 times back and forth in the same line like me and wears holes in carpets, he can do that because he's God. And just because we think that it's never going to happen that way, it can happen. Can God do a move in a church that's almost 200 years old, in a piece of property that's less than 3 acres, in a building that's not up to date, with people who might seem to think that they are past their prime? Right? That's right. It's totally wrong. You see what I'm saying? God is not done, and just because we think we know what's about to happen next, it doesn't mean that's necessarily the way it's going to go. He starts with people that no one thinks this is going to happen. He starts in places where no one thinks it's going to happen. This is out in the fields. It's not in the big city. Because this is God. And we need to understand that. And when we read this passage, it needs to be so much so fill us with hope. Not only individually, but corporately as the body of Christ. Because we think we have it all figured out. We think we know what God's going to do. And we have a plan, and God needs to work on our time frame and our plan and get it all done the way we want it done. It's not going to work that way. Let's keep reading. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger. All right. I'm sure it was pretty overwhelming for this group of people who probably were not, some people connect socially, some people don't connect socially. I think that if you didn't want to connect socially, you probably took up a job as a shepherd. You just kind of wanted to be left alone. You just worked out there. Nobody bothered you. You were unassuming. Hey, you could go there. It was very easy for you to be able to hide. Does anybody remember the story of David? Where did they find David? They found him out in the fields. He was the youngest of all the brothers. What kind of job did they give him? The job they didn't want. That's where they had to go to find David. He was out in the field. He was the one left to tend the sheep. He was the one that was supposed to go out there and do what nobody else wanted to do. So we sometimes, in our faith, because we think we've got it all figured out, because we think we know what God's going to do, we go and hide. We go and run out in the field. I'm not going to go out there and do that because that would put me out in public. I'm not going to go and share my faith at work because I don't want everybody to know my business. I'm not going to live my life this way because then people would put me in association with all these crackpot Christians that are all crazy. I'm just going to sit here, bide my time, and then I'll meet Jesus one day and it'll all be good. That's not what God says. God says, and this is on your outline, this is a message for the masses. Our job is to, wherever he meets us and whoever how he wired us, to go and to proclaim that. And our job is to take that out of the fields and to the people. That means we got to go where the what? People are. When God told this message to this group of people, they could have said, man, that was crazy. I ain't telling nobody about that. What did we just see? I don't know. Today would be an alien, right? Wouldn't be an angel, it'd be an alien. So angels from the Lord appear to everybody out in the field. They could have collectively got together and said, all right, this is how we're going with this story. This surely didn't happen. No. They packed it up and they did what the angel tells them to do. They were obedient to that because it wasn't a message that was just for them. It was a message that was meant to be sent. A message is given to be given away. When a proclamation is made, a declaration is made, it's made to be read. Why do we have the Declaration of Independence for our nation? So it will sit up in some building behind some piece of glass for us all to go to. What do we do in school? What are we teaching our children? We're teaching them the what? Declaration of our independence. Why? Because it is foundationally who we are as a nation. What are we doing as spiritual people in the church? We're to declare our faith. Because it is our declaration of dependence. It is who we are in Christ, and it is who we should be as people in this world. We're declaring ourselves dependent upon Him. This is what God is trying to say to us. This is a message that comes to a group of people in a place and a time when nobody thinks it's going to happen, and He delivers this message for the masses. This message is salvific. This is the center of what He says right here. There has been born to you a Savior. A Savior. Savior means deliverer or rescuer. How many of you would like to be delivered or rescued from some things that are going on in your life right now? Anybody? Amen.
Preach on, brother.
There's stuff that's happening in every single life in this room that we'd like to be delivered or rescued from. How many of you are in and of your own ability and capability in the situation and circumstances that you're in right now able to just do that? It's not happening. In and of our own power and in and of our own strength, we're unable to disconnect from that. or to make it go away, or to make it better, or find the solution or the answer. God's going to give us that. He is the only one able to break those chains. He is the only one able to deliver us from who we are and where we're at. We all need a Savior. We need someone to come in and rescue us, not only sometimes from situations and circumstances, some of us need to be rescued from ourselves. Put down the M&Ms, just walk away. It's easier said than done, isn't it? Don't go back to the food bar. You don't need seconds and thirds, all right? This is what I said all week on the cruise. Didn't happen. Therefore, the Lord said to himself in Psalms 23:1, I will give you a sign. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Look at there. Y'all do know this. Y'all have read this before. Have y'all ever heard this message? Anybody ever preached something from this passage to you before? Yes. Yes, they have. Paul has done it 12 times here in this church, haven't you, Brother Paul? Emmanuel. God is with us. This is the picture of this. Do you realize God sets himself up as the shepherd of our life? The world's socially outcast shepherds doesn't even want to be around them, doesn't look to them at all. In fact, they're so unassuming that the world just avoids them. But God is our shepherd. And in Psalm 23:1, that's what he says to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So the very thing that the world looks over is the very thing that the world needs to hear. The very idea that we think that we can walk through and understand and know what God wants to do in our life because we've been here and done that. We've been a follower of Christ for this many years, this much time, and we've got all the answers, is the very reason we need to show up at church and hear what God has to say. It's the very reason that we do need to speak up and speak out. It's the very reason that we do need to get up and get out. And not just go somewhere and hide. And not just sit around and let everybody run over us or run around us. Because that message is for everybody. That message is for the world. The world needs salvation. The world needs a deliverer and a rescuer. I put this in there. I could have skipped this portion of the passage. First of all, I wanted to read all of it. But this particular portion right here, I just want you to see. I'm not really going to go into a whole lot of depth on it right now, but I just want to bring this out because, man, it's everywhere right now. And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Okay, first of all, we're studying Revelations on Wednesday nights, so we're at the end. And in chapter 19, go home and read this at the beginning of chapter 19. The first thing that happens before Christ comes is worship in heaven. So the angels just made a declaration about Jesus to the first group of people and what's about to break out. Worship in heaven. A multitude started singing and praising God. Because this isn't about us, it's about him. So that's the first thing we need to realize. It's about him, and worship will break out. Now I want you to think about this. When God shows up and shows out in a church, in a life, worship breaks out. There are times in your life where you had to drag yourself to church. There have been other times in your life where you couldn't wait to get to church. When did real worship take place? I believe real worship could have took place on both of them. Because if you get up and you drag yourself to church, sometimes God speaks to move you. And if God is moving you, then he doesn't have to drag you to church. He doesn't have to drag you to worship him. He doesn't have to beckon you to worship him. All right, I'm going to tell you something. I told you something a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember or not. Remember I told you there was an app that's on my Bible. And I go on every morning and I read a verse that comes up on that app because that's the verse of the day. And man, I was up to so many days that I had done in a row. And I was like, this is well over a month. I hadn't missed a day at all from that app, reading that scripture in well over a month. I lost the internet on the cruise and I lost my record. I had to start all over. But Saturday morning, as the boat's coming in, first thing I did when I got internet again was to get up, go on the app, and what? Read my scripture, and I've started all over, and I have done it every day since I've been back. It may be the simplest thing in the world that keeps us going, but it is what moves and helps to motivate us into who we are. It is how God speaks to us. There are days, and there are so many days, when I have just gotten up and read a scripture, and that scripture has come to light that day. This is what God wants to do to us. This is how he brings us into worship. Sometimes he's done it by opening up the heavens and angels speaking and multitudes singing. Sometimes he does it through an app on your phone and a little reminder and somebody throwing confetti down going, woo, you did it 4 days in a row. Just some way, shape, form, or fashion to bring you in contact with him and his word so that you might become who he wants you to become and do what he wants you to do. Not sitting out in the fields, biding your own mind and biding your own time because that's where you want to be, because that's where you feel the best, but moving you out of your comfort zone and placing you in a place so that he can deliver what he wants to be delivered. So that he can speak to whom he needs to speak to. Now, here's the second part of this. He says, peace on earth to whom he is well pleased. And in this time of year, all it says is what? What does all the signs say? Peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth. No peace on this earth. Only peace in what? Whom he's well pleased. This is one of the largest passages that are taken out of context by the world and thrown back at the church. Everybody wants peace. There's going to be no peace without the Lord. And it's only going to be peace to whom he is well pleased. So if we want to go sit over here on the sidelines, even as people of faith, and not do what we think God or what God wants to do through us or in us, guess what? There's going to be no peace in our life. There's only going to be peace if we're doing what God wants us and tells us to do. If the shepherds had not gotten up and gotten out of the field and gone and done what they should have done, he would have chose somebody else. But secondly, they would have missed out. The way he brings peace into our life is through our obedience to him, with whom he is well pleased. So we can't go over here and say that we can just, I'm in, I'm good, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, the rest of y'all, whatever. It's up to y'all. Look, we preach this in the church today. We do. This type of faith has taken over some of our denomination and in the church. Some are elected, some aren't elected. And if you're not elected, nothing we can do for you. You're on your own. Not my job. My hands are clean. That's not what it says in Ezekiel. He says in Ezekiel, their blood will be on whose hands? Your hands, if you don't go do what I tell you to go and do. And who is he saying that to? He is saying that to the pastors of the flock, the shepherds of the flocks. So when we stand up in church today and we wash our hands of those who are out there, then we are actually making them bloody. And we are missing the whole point. The whole point, the whole thing of what God is trying to say to us. Everybody needs a Savior. He doesn't say that this is just for a few. He says that this is a message for everybody. And then he says, not only am I going to give you a message, I'm going to give you a sign. The sign is going to be in a child wrapped in cloth, lying in a trough. Ooh, that's where I would have thought he would have been born. King of kings, Lord of lords, in Revelations. Here, he's a savior of the world, given to the world. In a most unassuming way, in a most unassuming place. Keep reading. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he laid in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were in wonder at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. This is a win, win, win for everybody right here. Do you get this? They encountered God. They were obedient. They left what they were doing. They went out and told what they were supposed to tell, made known to them what had been known. And then it says this. It says, and all who heard it wondered all these things which were told to them by the shepherds. Didn't they not already know this? Hadn't the Lord already appeared to Joseph and to Mary? Told them what was going to happen? He told them what they needed to know then. He was telling them what they needed to know now. I want you to catch this. When this stuff happens, everybody around it gets a little bit more informed about what's going on. Because somebody stepped out from their comfort zone, did what God said that they were supposed to do. And because they did that, it not only affected them, they left and went back to their jobs, but they were glorifying God and praising him for everything that he had done. They are known forever. We don't know their names. But spiritually and scripturally, they're known throughout posterity because of their obedience of doing what God told them to do. And then they told Joseph and Mary, mom and dad, what was going on. And it says that Mary treasured everything in her heart. In other words, they were able to speak something into those lives that they did not already know. God continued to reveal himself to them, even when they thought they knew the entire plan. This is called walking with Jesus. And Scripture says that once we step out, we don't step out and just go, woohoo, look at there. We move. I've told you guys this. I'm going to use a world reference. I've used this a lot. I probably already used it once here. How many of you have ever watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? You ever watched that? Indiana Jones is standing to leap. What the little book says, he's supposed to leap from the lion's head. Do you remember that? Leap of faith. Now, Indiana Jones looks out, and there's this big, long space between him, a cavernous space between him and where he needs to go. And he sees nothing, does he? He looks down, and he goes, I'm dead, man. I don't see anything. And then he takes that step. You remember he takes a step in the movie? What does he still land on? Lands on a bridge. What does he do? Does he go, hey, that was pretty cool. I think I'll stay here for a little while. He walks across the bridge. Then he turns around when he gets to the other side and does what? Blows dust and stuff like that, throws rocks on it. So what? Everybody that's coming behind him can see the bridge. That's a great picture of exactly what we're talking about right here. He took the leap of faith. He landed on a bridge which he could not see, walked across it, turned around, threw stuff behind it so everybody else could see, so that they could all follow in the same way. This is what God does with us and through us. You may not think about it too much, about him using you as a bugle or a horn to the whole world. What about your family? What about when you take a step of faith and your children see that step? And then you cross over and then they go over with you, not to return back. You've moved them forward in their faith because they walked with you as you walked. And then they learned from you as you walked. So they know that when their time comes, they're going to have to step out and take a step where they can't see and don't know anything about where they're going. We become messengers to the world. Go look up what it means to be a messenger. Does anybody know the definition? What it means to be a messenger? Huh? It means one who is sent.
When we have the Georgia Baptist Convention, we send what?
What do we send from here?
Messengers.
When we have the Southern Baptist Convention, our church sends
messengers.
They are ones who are sent out by this church to vote or pass the vote or to whatever, represent this church there. They were sent out. They took what they know and they were sent out. Lottie Moon, missionaries. Paul, New Testament, missionary. Go read about the church at Antioch. What did they do? They sent him and Barnabas out. They were messengers. Guess what? You came in here this morning. You heard a message. Now, when you leave those doors on Sunday at 12 o'clock, right on the nose, right? I'm working it. You become a messenger. You are sent out from here. We don't look at it that way most of the times. We look like, man, he went to 1205 today. He's in big trouble. I'm not a messenger. I'm going to send him to the moon. Or we go, what's for lunch? Where y'all want to go next? What's the next box for us to check? What do we got to do this afternoon? Where we got to be next? All that is gone. That's not hearing a message. That's not worship. That's not encountering God. When we've encountered God, we walk out the door and we go, who do I tell? Who do I help? How can I make a difference? The significance of proclamation and praise. Look what John 10:11 through 14 says. Jesus makes seven. Look, I'm just going to say this right quick. I may preach this as a message series before it's all over here. But the book of John's different. The other gospels are synoptic gospels, and they tell stories. And John tells stories, but John's point is to make statements. And there are seven statements that he makes. They're called I am statements. Jesus makes statements through his ministry and his walk, and they're I am statements. And this is one of those I am statements. He says, I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10. The good shepherd always lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. He is not the owner of the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. God knows us, and we know him. He's got our back. I can't remember, and I can't tell you how many times I've had individuals come up to me as a pastor and say, Brother Tim, I got your back. I've had that happen so many times. And church planting is a little bit different. because most of the time you're reaching people who don't have a church background or church history. So when times get tough, people get gone because they don't understand the degree of difficulty that it means sometimes to actually have to walk in faith. I had five men one time tell me when we were getting ready to move from one building to the next building, and it was going to up our rent. We were going to triple our rent. Triple. We personally underwrite this. Five guys came together, and I was like, this is awesome. 2 years later, one left. One left. If I would have said, hey, these guys have got my back, it's all good, I'd be in big trouble. That church went on for years and years and years after those guys were gone. Because you can't walk in life thinking somebody's got your back. Here. Because only one person's got your back. And that's the good shepherd. He's got your back. And he's already proved it. Because he died for it. And if we will live our life with that understanding, all the other stuff is stuff. And we may not have what we perceive to be walk on water moments, but we will walk on water. Because we will achieve that which nobody else thinks that we can achieve. And we will be that which nobody else thinks we can be. We can be on the side of the road, left for dead. And along comes a good Samaritan. Picks us up. Takes us in. And makes it happen. Where did they come from? We just have to have the faith to understand and to know this is how God works. This is how God works. We're his children. He's our shepherd. No matter where we are, out in the fields, trying to avoid everybody else, trying to hide, he'll meet us right there and move us. And if he moves us, better get moving. Take that message to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord. Gracious Father, I thank you so much for who you are, what you have done, how you speak to us. Oh Lord, so many things that you do and say in our lives over time. How you use people for periods of time to speak to us, to move us, to help reveal things to us. But Lord, I pray right now for the most important thing for everybody that's in this place today, and that's obedience to your word. Lord, we need to just follow you. And if we're out in the fields or wherever we are, I pray that our ears and our hearts are open right now, because as we sing this, this is going to be just a time, Father, where you make known to us what we need to know. And if that's to know you personally as Lord and Savior, then we need to move out of the pew, come forward, and give our life to Christ. If that's to repent of something, we need to move out of the pew, come forward, get down on our knees, repent of our sins, and go forward. If, Father, if that's for a specific task for today, tomorrow, next week, next month, then speak it to us.